Blog Talk Radio.
I have to ask her, was she at the coronation? I mean, I hope so. Were you at the coronation? Okay. Were you in the audience? I mean, you know, I was looking for you. I couldn't find you. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffrey Swartz. I'm a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus. I'm here together with my compatriot and all-around good guy, Brendan Beery, who just by, as I always say, coincidence, it just, you know, is sort of fell that way, is also a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus. This is the Constitution and anything else we want to talk about today. Okay, and we're here with our friend and all-around good guy, Hezieris. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yes. Yeah, we won't talk about what Hezie and I were talking about before we came on the air because it's just not something you talk about on the air, so we're not going to do that. Okay. if I had an all-male audience.
Well, everyone's going to be guessing that.
I don't know that I have an all-male audience. I'm not going to talk about that.
Don't even start dropping hints, all right? Let's move on.
No hints.
All right. Yeah, I know what he's going to do now. He's going to start dropping hints about what we were talking about. I'm like, okay, let's
No. Yeah. No, I would never do such a thing.
Right.
Why would I do something like that? You know, why would I talk about something so uncomfortable?
Yeah. See? He just did it.
So people are going to start thinking.
You know, I can't wait for questions come in. What were you talking about?
Exactly.
I
guess everyone should know
how ignorant I was when I spoke.
Oh, you can't do that?
I can't talk about how uncomfortable you were.
No, I was. You don't need to talk about how uncomfortable. But I just felt so ignorant, considering you know I'm under medical attention, and evidently my doctors have failed me.
Okay. Now you talk about my giving hints, okay? Okay. All right. Now you're talking. Okay. He's talking about medical stuff, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And how ignorant he was of it. Okay. And now you're, you know what, everybody who's listening, I want you, because Hezie wants to know just how many people really care about him, write him a note and ask him on email, what were you talking about? Please explain it, okay?
Well, that's an incentive, if there ever was one.
Do not write me. I want to tell Mr. Swanky, do not write me a note asking me this on Facebook, okay? I'm not going to explain it to you, okay? I just want you to know that right now, okay? Okay, and I'm just going to leave it at that, all right? So everybody write a note to Hezie and give him a chance to explain himself, okay?
Mm-hmm. hopefully you'll have enough time to get it together and mentally, you know, balance it out.
You know, just do a little research.
Exactly. I will.
I don't know how your weekends went. You know, there's a phrase in Yiddish, we're going to teach them Yiddish today, called machatunim. Machatunim are like your in-laws. Now, I'm not married to Marilyn, but I consider her family like my family. We've been together for a long time. And this weekend, the machatunim were here. Okay, and so it was, every night going out for dinner, okay, you know, and going places.
That's
good
for
a guy who usually goes to bed at 10:30, having dinner at 9:30 at night, a little difficult on blood sugar and things like that. But that's kind of what we were doing. So it was, and getting up at 6 o'clock after you go to bed at 12:30 just doesn't work real well. So, you know, it was a long weekend. We had a wonderful time. They're very nice people, but, you know, what did my mother say? Company is like fish. After 3 days, it starts to stink.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Okay, so.
Just your mother.
Okay, so that's
your mother
that's
is quite
that's
clear
mother
voice, actually.
Yeah. Okay. We now that we've had such a good time this morning, we start out every one of our little episodes here talking about things that are important to us in the context of what do we really think. And there are so many things I've been thinking about. But I think the thing that what do I really think that I'm going to start out with is a topic that we do have to talk about, and I'm going to short form this conversation because we've talked about it so much, but I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court a little bit here. Just like the in-laws who after 3 days start to stink, or company starts to stink, I'm going to talk about Clarence Thomas because if I talk about him for too much, the stench gets so bad that I put myself off my lunch. Something new, like we needed anything new to come out, like what we know about him and Harlan Crow isn't enough. But this week, since we last met, a guy by the name of Leonard Leo, I hate people with two first names, arranged for Ginny Thomas. You remember her for the last 2 years, don't you? Ginny Thomas got paid $50,000 by then pollster Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway was, before she became an accomplished liar, was a pollster for Republicans, and she did a lot of polling for them, and she did it for a lot of organizations. And this guy who runs these not-for-profits this Leonard Leo wrote her a note and said, send me a bill that I owe you $50,000. And what I want you to do is take that $50,000, and I want you to hire as a consultant Ginny Thomas so I can get that $50,000 to her. But you are never to mention that you're hiring or have paid Ginny Thomas. Now, if it was a legitimate deal, why is it nobody supposed to know about it? Why do they have to hide the payment? I mean, was Kellyanne Conway the Michael Cohen who paid off Stormy Daniels, and is Ginny Thomas the Stormy Daniels? No comparison, by the way. Ginny Thomas is now Stormy Daniels. A payoff. This, and I'm going to call it for what it was nothing short of a bribe. I'm sorry. It is corruption to the highest degree. This guy runs basically he runs the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society. He was the architect of the takeover of the Supreme Court. There was not Gorsuch had to be approved by him. Kavanaugh had to be approved by him. Coney Barrett had to be approved by him. They all came through him. That's who this guy is. And not only that, he is an activist in organizations that had matters pending before the Supreme Court. The Judicial Education Project was his cover. They actually did pay Ginny Thomas $100,000 above the line at one point. All of this money, all of these favors, everything flowing from one side by people who have an interest in the outcome of the litigation, not necessarily a financial interest, but an interest nonetheless. Clarence Thomas is as guilty of bribery as the late Al C. Hastings was. Al C. never got charged, but Al C. got impeached and removed for taking a bribe. Al C. was a friend of mine, eventually became a very influential congressman after being removed, but could never get onto the Intelligence Committee because he couldn't get a security clearance because of what he had done. Clarence Thomas is more corrupt than Al C. Hastings was. And yet, there's nothing that's going to happen to him. Republicans will never let it happen because they don't trust Roberts. If they could really trust Roberts to be the arch conservative that they hoped he would be, they wouldn't mind losing Clarence. They would try to look good by losing Clarence and then trying to find a way to finagle a middle of the roader being nominated by Biden. But they can't trust Roberts. And so therefore they have to stand by Clarence Thomas's side. So our Supreme Court drops into the 20s on approval ratings, and we destroy the rule of law and the respect that people have for it. The Supreme Court is corrupt, and something has to be done to fix it, or we can kiss this democracy goodbye. And that's what I really think.
Yeah. I am similarly perturbed this morning. and I got something on my mind I want to talk about. And I spoke to Jeff earlier this morning about this, but there's an ABC News Washington Post poll that's out in the last few days. You know, ABC, Washington Post, you know, we're not talking here about some fringe outfit. We're talking about capable pollsters who are usually pretty accurate in their snapshot of where things stand. And I found the results of their poll shocking and disappointing is not a strong enough word. So what are we talking about? Joe Biden's approval rating sits at 36%. Disapproval up in the 50s. I saw some commentary. I haven't checked the accuracy of this, but I saw some commentators indicating that that's the lowest. That's the lowest approval rating for a president at this point of the presidency, right, this close to an election, ever recorded. And that includes Donald Trump, obviously. Speaking of Donald Trump, in a head-to-head matchup between President Biden and Donald Trump has a 7-point lead, which, if the election were held today, would be a very commanding lead. I am left, you know, we talk about this often. I am left to wonder whether I occupy at some kind of universe that, you know, I mean, it's like you sometimes are left to say, okay, either I'm crazy or everybody else or or a lot of other people are crazy. Because it appears that we literally occupy two different worlds. That we could arrive at the place where we are right now, considering where we've been over the past 6-7 years, and have a plurality of Americans by a solid margin, indicating to a reputable pollster that they would prefer to have Donald Trump as president than Joe Biden. You know, I just sit around and ask how is this possible? We have on the one side, a man, the only bad thing you can say about Joe Biden, you know, is his age is a problem, right? He's old. Of course, that argument overlooks that Donald Trump is aging as well. But, you know, so let's look objectively. Where were we when Donald Trump was finished with his one term as president? NATO was in shambles. Russia was calling the shots in American politics and American right-wing media. We had endured a catastrophic health crisis in this country that was made far worse than it had to be by the politicization of medicine and science. Our economy was in tatters. The supply chain disruptions that still are causing inflation had begun in earnest. Unemployment had skyrocketed. We were an international laughingstock with the clown who was in the Oval Office, who'd been impeached once, soon to be impeached twice. And here we are. Now, Joe Biden, what about the economy? Okay, so we still have inflation. I go on about this almost every week. How much I have to pay, for a bushel of pick your favorite vegetable, a couple extra dollars here and there does not amount to much compared to the end of the American experiment and American democracy. Joe Biden has restored respect for our institutions. He has restored the separation between the White House and the Justice Department. Otherwise, his son would not still be under investigation. He has not tried to interfere with any of the investigations into Donald Trump. He barely even talks about it. Our unemployment rate is at a historic low. People's wages are not going up fast enough, but they're going up. The only real threat right now to the American economy of any significance is the Republican brinksmanship on the debt ceiling. We could talk about that later if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
NATO has been restored. It is as strong as it has ever been. Ukraine, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about this later too, Ukraine is kicking Russia's behind, and Putin is in... to talk about tatters, now he is. The international health community is saying that we have finally turned the corner. COVID is still a serious threat, but it's no longer the international emergency that it was. We have the issues of abortion, where I had thought that the Democrats were on the correct side of that issue, that Joe Biden was, and that Donald Trump was on the wrong side of that issue. Maybe I was wrong. Guns. We need to talk more about guns today. Democrats, I had thought, and Joe Biden were on the correct side of that issue, and Republicans and Trump were on the wrong side of that issue. I had thought that most Americans, at least, had some respect and some regard for LGBTQ, their LGBTQ neighbors. And Democrats are on the correct side of that issue and Republicans are on the wrong side of that issue. I had thought that it was pretty clear that a politician who's already under indictment and is soon to be under at least three, and who's also being sued in civil matters, very serious, including one involving an alleged rape, I would have thought that that candidate would be a weak candidate, especially up against a president who has a pretty darn good track record, including even a bipartisan infrastructure bill that Donald Trump took 4 years to never accomplish. Where is the sense in any of this? What kind of person, with seeing the world through what lens, would say, I'd rather have Donald Trump back than another 4 years of Joe Biden? Now, let me get all the caveats out there. I'm well aware that it's too early, right, to panic about a poll. I understand that. I understand that these things move and they move rapidly. I understand that between now and the election there's an eternity in American politics. So I don't need to hear all that. I understand all that. That doesn't help me understand, however, how this is possible right now. I told Jeff earlier, I'm not mad about this poll because it's inaccurate. I'm mad about it because it is accurate, right? It may not stand the test of time. It may reverse itself by the time the real election comes along. But right now, again, ABC News and the Washington Post, they don't make these numbers up. They have actual statisticians who actually know what they're doing working on these things, right? They have highly professional methods for gathering information. And so when they release this poll, I am just gobsmacked. I have no idea how that's possible. How is it possible that Joe Biden right now is not thumping Donald Trump by 30 points? Never mind losing by 7. You never want to give up hope. But when you see the way millions and millions of Americans are going about their business, either malevolence or ignorance, mm-hmm. one or the other, it is really disheartening. I don't know how you get people to start paying attention. How do you not know that Donald Trump has been indicted? How do you not know that he's being credibly accused of rape? How do you not know the nonsense and buffoonery that he posts on social media in all caps and you know, misspellings all over the place? How do you not see this? All right, I'll get off my soapbox. That's what I really think. And I understand that this can change. I understand it's early. But, man, it's not that early. You know, 2024 is around the corner.
I got to say this. I'm not firmly convinced of the complete accuracy. I know you're saying they don't make numbers up, and they didn't make the numbers up.
Right.
I'll concede that. I want to see inside the poll. I don't want to see the top numbers, because there are subcontexts in the poll that can help explain where that number is or even ameliorate that number depending upon the issue as it is asked. And I would also like to see within all of that how the questions were asked. And that's important to me. I'd also like to see the sampling. Supposedly they should be able to say, what the sampling is. And the bottom line being, does that sample accurately? Is it likely voters? Is it people who are registered at one party or the other? How many independents were polled on a percentage basis? The makeup of the polling sample is important, too. It is, as you have said, hard to imagine that people think, one, that Trump handled the economy better. Well, it may have looked that way because he added about $3 trillion in debt. A quarter of our debt occurred during the 4 years that Donald Trump was president of the United States. So, sure, it looked good. He didn't. He lowered taxes for the rich so that they paid almost nothing. He gave middle-class people a $100 break on their taxes, and boy, that's $100. That's a dinner out with honey. And somehow that looked good to them. We were losing jobs. We weren't gaining a whole lot of jobs. No, there was no inflation. As a matter of fact, we had deflation to a certain extent, which makes what we think is being inflation look worse. But their attitude is, as of this point, the average guy doesn't think he's seeing anything. He's paying more for, there has been inflation, and he's paying more for certain things. He doesn't really see the benefits of the increased income that he has because of inflation. I am more confident than others, I guess, in believing that the economy is not going to be the issue a year from now. It's not going to be. So I understand that they don't make numbers up, but there's more to polling than just asking a simple question. That's what you see on television. That's the question you see answered. Polls are filled with questions that are subdivisions of what you see on television. And what you see on top is really an average of the issue questions that are asked. I'd like to see the whole poll, not just what made a good headline or made interesting headlines for ABC this time. It should scare and concern Democrats, yes. But if I'm a Republican, the last thing I'm going to do is count on that poll as meaning it's going to be a red wave. Because it's not. It's just not. Any more than it was last year. But there are things going on. And I understand that. This is, as with Marilyn, who is so deeply concerned with Biden's age, overwhelmingly concerned about it. There are people who are being sold that simply because of his age, he's incompetent to be president of the United States. Well, everything is relative. And if the Democrats had a bench, a real bench, not Amy Klobuchar or Kamala Harris, or, Warren from Massachusetts. Okay, if it had a deeper bench, then I would say to be considered. But they don't have the bench. They literally don't. Any more than, in my mind, the Republicans do. Because nobody wants to take on Donald. They all want to dance around and hope he gets convicted and put in jail, and then all of a sudden the Republicans know they're going to have to find somebody else to run. That's what they're all waiting for. That's why they won't take him on. So it's easy for me to say that ABC could come up with the poll that they did. But I'm not sure it says everything that ABC wants to say it says. What the headline is. There's more to it than that. So I'm discouraged, but I'm not that discouraged. As soon as projects from the infrastructure bill get started and they see tangible results with jobs, high-paying jobs, that's going to change things. When inflation comes back down, as much as it's painful right now, when inflation comes down and the jobs are still there and we don't go into a deep recession, people are going to sit there and say, well, okay, but things are better now. Why am I going to change horses if things are better? Make the richer richer again? I don't think so. So we'll see. I'm not all that discouraged, but I understand where some of these numbers could come from.
But
and we'll
don't
just
the
have to wait it out and
from,
see what happens.
Don't the numbers come from the fact that we're no longer having discourse, we no longer have discussion, and all we have is politicized, camps? We don't hear one another. That's the problem.
If that is a problem, Hesse, it is. But if this were just that, then you would see a huge divide, and the numbers would be in Biden's favor because at least as much as they're saying 30%, he's down in the 30s as to his approval rating, Democrats are still going to say he's better than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats and independents are going to say he's better than Trump. So
okay.
It's more than just not having the discourse. We need the discourse. There's no question about that. And we have a crisis now that that may be resolved by something that we want to talk about, and it's a good lead into that, as to how we're going to resolve this debt limit issue.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking at the two sides and saying somebody has to give in, blah, 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 blah. There are people say that with a stroke of a pen, Republicans lose and Democrats win. Why don't you explain it to them, Brendan?
Yeah, I'm going to try to pull it up here while we're talking.
Well, I got it in front. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, first of all,
Section 4, 14th Amendment.
Yeah, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. Yeah, I mean, this is some crazy stuff. And this too, this kind of kind of goes with what I was saying. If you say you understand where these numbers come from, I don't. I do not understand. And at some point, I have to stand back and say, well, look, we all have to make our judgments. I'm not a statistician. I took statistics in college, and I did pretty well, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not a statistician, and I'm not a professional pollster. ABC, Washington Post have always struck me as people who are. And so at some point, yeah, I agree, you want to dig down and see all the nitty-gritty. But I'll emphasize again, they didn't come up with that number, and they also have 18% undecided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you show me somebody who says, okay, if I ask you, if you're an adult with normal cognitive capabilities, and I ask you, which would you prefer, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? And if your answer to that is, I can't decide, well, then I have decided something, which is that you're an idiot. Yeah, you're an idiot, okay? Only an idiot could not answer that question. With an obvious answer. I'm more discouraged than Jeff is, but I guess we'll move on from that. But the related point is how destructive Republicans can be, especially the modern iteration, the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Kevin McCarthy rolling over version of the Republican Party, which seems at this point not to be merely bluffing. it may just be that these people are really serious about trying to blow up the credit, the full faith and credit of the United States for the first time in the nation's history, because they're unhappy about allowing Joe Biden to seem as though he has accomplished anything economically. What Jeff's talking about is a constitutional provision that was enacted after the Civil War as part of the 14th Amendment, as Jeff said, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. Because of concerns at that time that Southern states would try to torpedo the payment of debts that the federal government had incurred in executing the Civil War, right? So there was every reason for the people who drafted the 14th Amendment to be suspicious that Southern states and their political influence in the federal government, they would try to torpedo the payment of those debts because those debts were incurred in a war against them, a war against the South, the Confederacy. As a result of that, the 14th Amendment says, and conservatives tend to call themselves textualists, right? Which means, look, you don't spend a lot of time trying to divine, what was the underlying purpose and, what was the history leading up to certain provisions and what exactly was in the heads of the people who wrote it. If the text is plain enough on its face, you don't need to do any of that. You just apply it as it's written. Now, a lot of the Constitution, you can't apply just as it's written because it's very vague. What is due process? I mean, you have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what a term like that means. What is equal protection? What is that all about? What are privileges and immunities, right? I mean, this is vague stuff. You got to spend some time talking and debating about that, and trying to figure out what it means. Other parts of the Constitution, you don't have to work real hard to figure it out. You have to be at least 35 to be president. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything unclear about that? There's nothing unclear about that. Well, here's another part. Listen to this. The validity of the public debt authorized by law shall not be questioned. That goes directly to the debt ceiling. When Congress raises the debt ceiling, they are not spending money. People need to understand that. Raising the debt ceiling is not spending. Raising the debt ceiling is paying the public debt, is authorizing the federal government to pay the public debt. Public debt.
What it's spent.
Public debt. Right. That's right. What it's spent. And what it says in the 14th Amendment, the public debt shall not be questioned. I.e., you pay it, period. Right? You don't, you know, blank around with it. It's not the place. And so, yeah, I mean, and I've seen law professors with, you know, who have studied this more than I have and have better credentials than I have saying, yeah, I mean, on its face, that would authorize the federal government. It would require the federal government, the Treasury, to pay debts that are owed, no matter what Congress says. The Congress can't undo the Constitution without a constitutional amendment. So it's an interesting argument. You know, if I were Joe Biden, if they really take us to the brink and over the brink, and they actually refuse to raise the debt ceiling, if I were Joe Biden, I would use this, you know, and let them try to stop.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think that there is a political benefit to Republicans if they do exactly what you're talking about. If they blow it all up, they'll blame it on Biden. They've tried to set the stage. He refuses to negotiate. And the answer has been from the administration, we're not refusing to negotiate. We're just not going to be held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
We will negotiate with you over the way that we don't fix the budget as a condition of the national debt. We fix the budget by passing a budget.
Mm-hmm.
What you have proposed is not a budget. It's a wish list to undo everything we did in our first 2 years.
Right.
You've named everything you won't touch, which means you're going to have to cut money to police officers. You're going to have to cut money to the military. You're going to have to pull back on the infrastructure bill and take away everything that you think that we've done so you can say we haven't done anything, which is accurate. That is what they're trying to do. And if, in fact, they are prepared to destroy the American economy, possibly the world economy, in return for power to rule and to govern when they're incapable of governing, then that's a problem. If there are regular Republicans who are going along for the ride who are not prepared to step up, then that's a problem. Now, there is one thing that's taken place. Democrats, in preparation for this 6 months ago, put forward a bill that says you must take up our bill, raising the debt limit. It's called a discharge bill. And what a discharge bill is, if a majority of the members of the House want a vote on a particular measure, they don't have to depend upon the Speaker of the House to put the bill before the House. The bill comes before the House for a yay or a nay vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are right now. All they need are five Republicans who are thinking about retiring in 24, to step up and vote yes for a discharge bill. And if they do that, then a clean bill for raising the debt service, or the debt limit, I call it the debt service because all we're doing is raising the amount of money we can spend to pay off, not pay off the debt, but to pay the debt service, which is the interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that bill could then pass and send to the Senate, Schumer will get it passed. He'll get past the 60-vote limit because there are Republicans. Right now, there are four or five Republicans already saying that they would vote for a clean bill. In the end, McConnell will have to agree and abandon McCarthy. And it will pass, and now you've got it passed. So basically, Democrats have about another week to come up with those five votes. And if they do, all they have to do is get their signatures on the petition. The petition means the bill goes to the floor, and now they've got their votes, and they're going to get their bill through. That will show, one, how weak McCarthy is. It will destroy any bargaining positions he has, and it will take those 10 people who held out, especially the top five, who held out on him, and put them in their place, and it will set their hair on fire. And Republicans will be so disorganized, they won't be able to do anything. They will be paralyzed. Now, that's one way they can do this, and do it through regular order. But if it comes down to 1201 on June 2nd, and Republicans have not relented, and there is no bill raising the debt limit, then Section 4 of the 14th Amendment should be invoked. And let them litigate it, but in the meantime, the money's getting paid. And the Republicans will go crazy, but they'll realize they have, at this point, people will say, it's already done. Agree to what Democrats want. Start negotiating a budget. You want to have leverage? Negotiate a budget. Shut down the government, but don't screw around with our full faith and credit. Stop. You want to shut down the government because you can't get a budget passed that you like? Go ahead. Shut it down. But see, then they would really own a shutdown. Mm-hmm. They would own it. And they know that. Whoever owns it loses in the next election. And it just makes Biden look stronger. That's what's going on here. They want a win. They want to make Biden relent. And he's not going to do it. They're calling Biden's bluff, and Biden has the Democrats in the House are already working on it and taking Biden off the hook. If they succeed with that, Republicans lose. If they call Biden's bluff and Biden says, okay, you're not going to pass anything, then I'm going to do this all by myself. He looks strong. He looks presidential. And he wins. So I don't know where they think they're going to go with this. I really don't. I think they're starting to buy their own lies and their own propaganda that Biden is not really controlling the government and Biden is too weak and Biden doesn't have the cognitive ability to be president of the United States like Donald Trump does. Donald Trump goes to bed at night, dreams of something, and in the morning to him it is reality. He says something that he knows is a lie, but to him, it's reality. He knows it's a lie. He just figures if he says it, it's now reality. That's cognitive ability. That's delusion. How can someone who's delusional be cognitively competent? I don't want to hear it. Everything that's happened during the time that Biden has been president has been correct. He's been right about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He has fixed everything. Want to talk about America being great again? There it is. And it gets greater every day. Or more great. I don't know if there's such a word as greater. More great. Much more great. Okay? So, I'm sorry. Republicans, you're going to have to deal with this stuff. You really are. You're not. You're making it. You know what? They're looking for a solution where there is no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's understand something. If they insist on busting the debt, you have to understand something. The Social Security Trust Fund is going bankrupt, not because there isn't enough money or wouldn't be enough money to pay Social Security for decades. It's because Congress, in particular Republicans, have borrowed money from the Social Security Trust Fund for the budget. So if they, the reason why we won't have money in the Social Security Trust Fund to continue Social Security is because the American government isn't repaying the Social Security Trust Fund. Of all the billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that have been taken, borrowed from the trust fund by the United States government, the trust fund's holding government bonds for repayment of that debt. If you don't pay the service on that debt, then there'll be not enough money in the trust fund. Nobody talks about that. That's why the checks won't go out. The trust fund should not be dependent upon anything from Congress because it should operate on its own. But that's not happening. It's a huge part of the debt. So all of you elderly people think it's a great idea. Don't raise the debt service. When you don't get your checks, blame yourself. Blame Congress for stealing money from the Social Security Trust Fund, but nonetheless, blame yourself. Because you don't care as long as the check comes in. When the check doesn't come in, it's got to be Biden's fault. It's not Biden's fault. That's what's going on with the debt. That's the debt. Well, who cares if we don't pay our service? I mean, the Chinese hold a lot of our debt. That's true. But just because you don't pay it now doesn't mean you're not going to have to pay it. So you can say goodbye to a strong military. You can say goodbye to the infrastructure bill. You can say goodbye to a lot of things if they don't undo Social Security and Medicare. Where are they going to get the money? Oh, we're not going to pay for education anymore. All those things that you like are going to disappear. Those 85,000 new IRS agents that you think are so terrible, we won't have to go after rich people who cheat on their taxes. Or answer the phone so you can get your questions answered. Or the service that they provide. The IRS is not just a collection agency. There are so many things that Republicans want to get rid of to show that there's no accomplishments at all by the Biden administration. They just want to get rid of all that stuff. And those are the things they're going to cut in the budget. So if you think you're saving a budget fight by signing this, that you're not. The Biden administration will fight that budget fight and hold on to all that money. And they'll say, screw you on the 22%. We signed that to get the debt service raised up. Now we're going to take it back. Then the government will shut down again. So, not a good thing. Not good stuff.
No.
Wonderful. We didn't get to DeSantis again.
They've still got 10 minutes.
Do we? I got three.
What time you got, Hezzy? Okay. My clock says 10:50.
Well, yeah, you know what?
So does mine.
Okay. I got we've been on the air for 58 minutes, but we still have 10 minutes left. I don't know how that happened, but that's okay. I know, because I was talking to Hezzy for 10 minutes.
You know
why?
Because
we
got started earlier. We called in earlier.
Yeah,
we were talking for a while.
We were talking.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. So we're going to talk about, I won't use bad names. I'll just say Ron DeSantis. Ronnie! Hi, Ronnie. You love being called Ronnie, so I'm going to call you Ronnie. Ronnie just got done telling the legislature what to do, and they did exactly what he told them to do. Everything
shocking.
He wanted. And the legislature is so proud of themselves that they gave Ron DeSantis everything he wanted. I'd be so proud to be able to say that Ron DeSantis told me what to do, and I did what Ron told me to do. That makes me smart. I'm smart. We're not stupid. We're smart. So the legislature just finished with all kinds of good stuff that Ronnie wanted. Let's see. Ronnie wanted an expanded school voucher program so that anybody who wants a voucher can have one, and they're going to get more money for it, too. So let's bankrupt the public schools. And why would I want to do that? So black people and other minorities don't have a place to go to school. And so they don't get smart. And they don't replace white people. And it's the best way to say it. We have to keep these people stupid. Teach them how to read enough to be able to order at McDonald's. Teach them enough arithmetic so they can count change, so that they know what a penny's worth and a nickel's worth and a dime is worth and a quarter's worth, because the machine tells them how much money they have to have. They just have to be able to add those small numbers together. And they can work at McDonald's or Burger King or someplace where they run a register. And we fix it so they can't cheat and steal. And we'll pay them minimum wage. And so the next generation will be just as stupid as they are. That's what he wants. Well, he got it. Let's see. Ron DeSantis. There's a bill, 432 or something like that. I'll look it up, but it's a statute in Chapter 627 of the Florida Statutes that says if you sue your insurance company because they didn't give you your coverage, like on a PIP claim, you know, PIP claim, or your homeowner's insurance, or citizens for not paying everything they should have paid you after a hurricane, that if you win money, then the insurance company has to pay your attorney's fees. Why was that passed? Because most people don't have the money to sue their insurance company. So insurance companies can beat them up and then just say, if you don't like it, sue us. And lawyers won't take the case because the client can't afford the legal fees, and there's no way to get the fees out of the other side. So insurance companies hate this provision in Chapter 627 of the Florida Statutes, and so Ronnie said, oh, you don't like that? Well, let's get rid of it. So Ronnie goes to the legislature, get rid of that provision. Let's make it harder for people to sue their own insurance companies to get what they paid for. And, of course, the legislature said that's a really good idea because this way companies like United Automobile Insurance Company down in Miami who don't pay off on any PIP claims, the owner says 95% of the claims we see have fraud in them without any means to be able to say that. He is and he refuses to pay. I'm just giving you an example here. And he wants you to sue. Well, he's tired of all the lawsuits. When I left the bench 20 years ago, he had 7,000 cases pending in Miami-Dade County Court, and now he has even more. And the longer he holds on to his money, the more he makes on his money, and so therefore, if he loses a case and has to pay $100,000 in attorney's fees on a $7,000 claim, he doesn't care because he's still in the black. Now you can't even sue your insurance company for not paying for your PIP claim and get attorney's fees. You can't sue Citizens if they don't pay for your hurricane damage. You can't sue homeowners insurance, whatever it may be, for not paying you for all the damage. They can breach their contracts almost with impunity. And that's good for business. So, you know, Ronnie wanted that, so they gave it to him. Isn't that great? He made it harder for state and local investment funds to consider environmental, social, and governance stances when deciding who they would invest in. We're going to take woke out of this. We're fighting back against woke corporations. We're not going to let cities who have to invest money to get money back so they can pay off their bonds to invest in companies that have great futures and are worth a lot of money because of those great futures because they're woke. So now you have to be an approved non-woke corporation to get investments from pension funds and from for the pension funds from cities or the state. Does that mean my pension's going to go down from the state of Florida because they can't get the kind of money they could get if they invested in the right companies? He's fighting back against woke corporations like Disney. Still think Bob Iger is going to win. I think his name is Bob, but his last name is Iger. Okay, who is the old and now the new CEO of Disney, is going to win that fight. And when he does, he's going after Ron DeSantis. Who do you think Disney's officers are going, whose election they're not going to support? There will be no money for Ron DeSantis, zero. He cut off his nose to spite his face. You can carry a concealed firearm without a permit in the state of Florida. You don't even have to have any training, no permit. Anybody can carry a concealed firearm. The police said, please don't do this. He did it anyway. The next big mass murdering is going to be of police officers who get stopped by people who get angry at them for getting a ticket and blow them away. That's the next target. It goes on. A 6-week gestation period for getting an abortion in the state of Florida. Very few women, if any, know that they're pregnant within 6 weeks. You know who's going to make money? The people who sell pregnancy tests. And women are going to start testing themselves every 2 to 4 weeks if they've had sex with anybody. And as soon as they see two lines, off they go to the doctor. So they're going to make a lot of money, those people. Okay? Those are the kind of things that he wanted, that he got. The only good thing he did is he set aside more money for building low-income housing because we want people in low-income housing. We don't want them working their way out of low-income housing. and he doesn't want to deal with even more homeless people in the state of Florida. There is no group of people who can do more damage to a population in 60 days than the Florida legislature. I've seen it. I've been there. I know what they do. They go up there and they party every night. They every lobbyist has a party on a night. They go to that lobbyist party and they party until all hours of the morning. Then they go home and they sleep for a few hours. They come to the legislature and they vote on bills that they've never read, they've never seen, and they don't even know what it's doing, but they've been told by the leadership to vote for it, so they do. In this case, Ron DeSantis says vote for it. They do. Even if they don't know what it is. This is the state of Florida. And then people wonder why I want to leave.
Oh, God.
I'm going to keep my residency because I don't want to pay an income tax in some other state. But if I could get away with spending no days a year here, that would be fine with me. I've been here 43 years, and I've watched the disintegration of what used to be the land of milk and honey into a desolate fascist state, and I've had enough. And I don't like hot weather anyway. So there. What do you got to say about that, Brendan?
It's 11:02. We've got a big meeting.
Yeah.
So big unfortunately, meeting. we're gonna have to really kind of run here.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Can we do this instead of the meeting? I'd rather do this.
If only. If
Let's
only.
Let's go for three more hours. Okay.
Right,
so we don't
right.
have to go to the meeting.
Right.
Can we do that?
I wish.
Listen, you're the guy that has to excuse people from the meeting, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So excuse yourself and then excuse me and then we're excused from the meeting and then we don't have to go.
God. Yeah.
No,
you know how well that'll go over.
At this stage for
right.
me, do I really care?
I know.
That'd
okay. be nice.
It will be.
Mm-hmm.
It will be. Okay, I haven't gotten there yet, but it will be. I promise, okay?
I want to
wake up in the morning and try to figure out what I'm going to do for the day. I'm really looking
yeah.
forward to that. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Hezzy, take care of yourself if you're there. This is not
I haven't heard Hezzy for a while. I might have lost Hezzy.
He must be doing something else.
Yeah,
okay, Hezzy,
yeah.
when you listen to the show later, take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah, right.
All right, man. We're out of here.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you later.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.